This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Battle for Malaysia on BFM 89.9.
Hello, you're listening to BFM's Polling Day Special Battle for Malaysia. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Sharad Kutin here with me. 17 minutes since the polls have closed. And we're keen to know what process hiccups we saw today on Polling Day for GE14. But before that, a quick shout out to everyone who's weighed in on Twitter and WhatsApp. So thank you, Irdina, for your tweet. And also, if you would like to get in touch with us, our Twitter handle is at BFM Radio, and you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Now, to talk a little bit more about some of the process hiccups that we saw throughout the day, Sharad, we have on the line with us Shahrul Aman, Acting Chairperson for Bursay 2.0. Hi, Shahrul. Now, I think I want to kind of address the first thing on my mind, given we saw long lines today at polling centres around the country. Now, Bursay has urged voters who have been queuing at these polling stations not to budge, even though it's technically past 5 p.m. and polls have closed. So, are you seeing a lot of people still waiting in lines? And is the EC allowing these people to cast their ballots?
Unfortunately, I just came out in the open to say that they can only vote until 5, which is very bad and very sad for the voters, because all of them are coming out to vote. It is some of them have traveled very far just to go and vote, and now they have been told that they are not allowed to. Reason being, I think he has to take the blame. It is his responsibility to ensure that voting is smooth and everybody in the going out there to do their duty are being eased to do this. I personally went for voting this morning. I went out 8 o'clock, and I only managed to vote at about 10, and it was very clear that not thoroughly ready. The signage were bad. People were unsure which saluran they were supposed to go to, and they were. And today, Bursay came out with 4 statements on many issues. People were confused on the ballot boxes, they were confused on extra markings and things like that.
Cheryl, if I can interrupt you, the question is there a remedy for those voters? What can they do at this point in time? We've been talking about people or suggesting to people that they stay and demand the right to vote. If that's not an option, what could happen following the today and following Election Day? Is this a violation? Is there a legal remedy
to challenge
this?
It in court, perhaps?
Yes. It is in the Election Act Section 4D, if I'm not mistaken, that officers have to allow the voters to vote. It is their right. And we urge the candidates to go down and meet areas which are crucial for them to allow the KTM or the Ketua Tempat Mengundi to use their discretion to allow for voting to continue and to finish up whoever is in the line.
Cheryl, how widespread is this? I mean, are these just isolated incidents? Are we talking massive numbers of people being denied the right to vote? I mean, can we get some perspective on this particular problem?
We just saw some areas like Kinrara. There was a video coming in, the officers stopping people from voting, telling them it's only 5 o'clock. We got pictures from Taman Medan. There's still a long queue in Kola, Taman Datuk Harun. There are many other places, I believe, there. It is not widespread. I mean, it's not that widespread. Definitely, there are places where things are rather quiet, and voters can actually go through the process in a very short time, 10, 20 minutes. But in several other places, things EC should have been more ready to handle the crowd.
Cheryl, you also mentioned that Bersih had put out several statements to talk about some of the process hiccups that we've seen throughout the day. I mean, things like the stamp on the ballot, as well as markings, and also the colour that, you know, putting in the ballot boxes being mislabeled, Parliament and Dun. So can you shed some light on what are some of the statements that, Bersih has noticed today?
Earlier in the morning, people were confused with the ballot paper and which box to put them in. And some of them apparently have got themselves confused because the color of the boxes and the ballot paper is somewhat the same. There's no clear distinction between the Dun and the Parliament papers. So people were panicky. So we came out with our first statement in the morning, telling people that it is something that they do not need to be too alarmed, because prior to the process of counting, the officers would sort that out. In fact, we saw in Twitter and also in social media, even the caretaker prime minister making a mistake on that, but I believe he has already deleted that picture and put in a new one.
Yes, that's right.
Cheryl, this comes down to the question of the reputation of the Elections Commission and its conduct, all the way back to the redelineation exercise, and then of course the declaration of a midweek polling date. In terms of the unstamped ballot papers, the EC chairman Tan Sri Muhammad Hashim Abdullah came out to say that these are probably isolated cases, an issue of human error, in which case these ballot papers will be considered legal, and the presiding officer cannot reject such ballot papers. He also went on to say in a report that he urged voters not to be fooled by messages that claim that the EC is operating in a fraudulent manner. He's saying that the voting process is being witnessed by important stakeholders, including candidates' agents. Are you satisfied with that reassurance?
We have already come up with a statement last week with our preliminary findings, with 10 major points saying that the elections are flawed on the electoral roll, on the registration of the voters, redelineation, and all these are based on facts and reports from the public. It is not something that we are drafting based on our emotions, but are based on facts. We are not very happy with statements from the commissioner, from the chair, stating that, because we have so much proof to say otherwise. We have offered to SPR to share the data that we have. We have urged them to resolve the problems. We have gone to SPR to report the voter registration problems that we have been receiving calls from the public nonstop for the past since the dissolution of Parliament. We told them to solve this problem, to not cause a havoc for elections, but they are quite mum. The only time when they do answer back, I think, is when there is a public outcry. For instance, the on the chop, I think.
Yeah, the stamp on the ballots, Cheryl. Yeah. So right now, as I understand it, Bersih has clarified that if there is no stamp on the ballot, it's okay. Your vote is still valid.
That is why we hope they will not be selective. Execution of this general statement by the chair, because in the panduan untuk memutuskan undi ragu by the SPR, it there is a sentence saying kertas undi yang tidak dicop atau tidak ditindik dengan rasmi atau tidak ditandatangani oleh ketua tempat mengundi adalah contoh-contoh undi yang perlu ditolak. So this is I would say a formal document from the EC, and I mean, seeing this document and seeing the Undang-Undang Malaysia, the laws of Malaysia, Peraturan Pilihan Raya 1981, number 7 saying dengan syarat bahawa jika ketua tempat mengundi berpuas hati bahawa kertas undi telah dikeluarkan dalam satu keadaan yang menjadikan tidak sah di bawah peraturan ini, oleh sebab itu perbuatan atau peninggalan olehnya atau oleh seorang yang bertindak di bawah kuasanya. Jika tidak kerana kertas undi itu adalah sah, ketua tempat mengundi tidak boleh menolak kertas undi itu. So, I mean,
so what does that mean, Cheryl? It means that they can reject that ballot paper without the stamp?
That's the thing.
Oh, it's vague right now.
The without public outcry, EC will not come with that statement.
Okay, so there needs to be some public pressure there.
Yes. Okay. We need to give public pressure to the EC. Tell them these problems stems from their officers, and EC needs to take responsibility. But what Bursa is doing, we are telling all the polling agents and the counting agents to play their role and to fight it out during the counting and ensure that the rights of the voters who have already voted is being upheld, regardless of these mistakes done by the officers.
Right, so this is definitely a crucial time. Thank you so much for your insights. So that was Cheryl Aman, Acting Chairperson, Bursa 2.0. We also have Fahmi Fazil from the Lembah Pantai PKR candidate, lambasting the Election Commission for its failure to provide SPR officers postal ballots in time for them to vote. We have a clip from that.
Over the last 2 days, including this morning, I have been told that SPR staff, petugas-petugas SPR who have registered as postal voters have not, until this morning, received their postal ballots. Sehingga hari ini, dalam masa 2 hari yang lepas, petugas-petugas SPR telah menemui saya seramai 6-7 orang yang berkata mereka belum lagi menerima undi pos yang sepatutnya mereka terima sejak awal. Ini adalah satu kegagalan besar pihak SPR, yang mana mereka menjanjikan undi-undi pos ini dapat dihantar. Saya amat marah dan saya juga marah terhadap Timbalan Menteri Dalam Negeri Sementara, Nur Jazlan, yang memberlekehkan isu ini dalam Twitter. Saya menganggap kenyataan beliau amatlah tidak adil dan melanggar prinsip demokrasi. Kerana kita bergerak dalam demokrasi yang memberikan nilai satu warga negara yang berhak untuk mengundi, satu pengundi, satu undi. Tapi nampaknya ada petugas-petugas SPR sendiri, tak termasuk orang awam yang telah mendaftar sebagai pengundi pos.
That was Fahmi Fazil, the Lembah Pantai PKR candidate, on the EC's delay in providing postal ballots to working EC officers. Really, I guess, you know, Sharad, the question at the end of all this is really what implication to the credibility of the Election Commission?
And what impact on the outcome? So sometimes, you know, you can have problems and hiccups. They don't necessarily, on a statistical kind of basis, change outcomes. But the question is, and that's separate from the question of rights and people who've been wronged, as it were, because the system failed to allow them to vote, and so on and so forth. I think there will be a lot of time after this, the ballots are counted and the government is formed, when there's going to be a reckoning for the Elections Commission in terms of need for an assessment of that institution, see whether it's been it's just a question
really,
of gross.
So? I mean,
gross,
do we have post-mortem after every elections to say, well, this is what you did right and this is what you did wrong?
I believe
what you could improve.
What I believe is the National Human Rights Commission, Su Hakam, already having, while they were denied the right to observe the polls, they said they were going to go ahead and do so. It would be very interesting to see what Su Hakam assessment of the polls, in particular the conduct of the Elections Commission. But I perhaps at this point in time it's too early to be too negative about what's happened. There are some problems. Again, we don't know how widespread these are because the picture is not just the Klang Valley. It's the entire country. We will need more information to make that assessment that this was widespread or systematic. The EC has come out to say that he believes, at least with the stamping, the non-stamping of certain ballots, that these were isolated, he said, and he's advised the presiding officers. I remind, he said to the presiding officers to consider those ballots valid. So, if they're valid, then there's no problem, right? And the question is the issue of, at each counting station,
right,
what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, it's coming up to 5:33 now. After this, we're going to be joined in the studio by Bridget Welsh, Professor of Political Science at John Cabot University and a longtime political commentator on Malaysian politics, after Eric Clapton with Change the World, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.